sorry to cut you off. I just want to make sure we have time to cover this next topic, because there's another people group, so to say, that is a prime for conversations during the holidays. Can you tell me about this quote unquote people group and why our listeners and our readers should be aware?
Well, there are people that are right within our reach, probably on somewhat of a regular basis, and our best chance to have them in heaven with us may very well be the holiday season. I'm talking about our own family. I'm talking about our close-in friends. I'm talking about those relationships where it's hardest many times to talk about Jesus, but where it is critically important, because you may be their best hope of understanding what Jesus can do for them. And there's a good chance you may see them during this period of time. And if you don't, it would be very natural for you to send them a card, to write them a letter. I mean, it's Thanksgiving, it's Christmas, you know, the most wonderful time of the year. Well, sometimes it's the most wounded time of the year, because it really surfaces broken relationships and walls between people where there should be bridges. So how do we build those bridges? If I'm the one who knows Christ in this relationship, I need to take advantage of the holiday season. Hearts are softer during that time. It's more natural to bring up Jesus during the Christmas season than any other time of the year. I mean, you hear his name in music at the mall, in TV shows. You know, it's probably the best time. And again, hearts are more open potentially to Jesus during this time. Here's some pointers on how to do that. First of all, let's remember, this is not about winning an argument. This is about winning their heart. And too often we may have tried to win an argument over spiritual things or even politics with somebody. Please say, my job, what can I do to win their heart? Not win the argument about Jesus or about anything else. And that's the right agenda, first of all. And secondly, might be to write a letter that could build a bridge into their heart. And I can't write the letter for you, but I can give you some ideas what to put in it. Here are four themes. First one is, I love you. And elaborate on that. And that maybe you have for a long time, and maybe you haven't done the greatest job of showing it, but you do really love them. Number two is thank you for. Think back over and you say, well, I can make a good long list of things I'm not thankful for. Yeah, we really know those pretty well. But think back over times that sometime in your life when they did something to help you, things that have meant a lot to you, qualities, maybe just one, but qualities you appreciate about them, experiences that you've had together, maybe a long time ago, but reminisce about some of those experiences and how that's a special part of who you are today. But write thank you for. Third part of the letter is I'm sorry for. And if there's anything you wish you had done less of or more of or differently, this isn't about things they've done wrong. This is totally about where you are trying to make right some things that maybe have made it impossible to win their heart. And last of all, I wish we could. Here's how I wish, you know, I don't know how many years either you or I have left, but here's how I wish our relationship could be, and maybe not build it all on the past where we've had these brokennesses, but can we declare a new beginning? I'd love it if we could start here and have a strong relationship for the rest of our years. You know, you don't get many letters like that in your life. And the reason I said to put it in the letter is because when we try to say things, we get diverted by what they say. We never really get it done. And they're thinking of what they're going to answer you with. Whereas you put it into a letter and it's something they may keep and read and reread. And you might even put in there that you would love it if you could later talk about what you had written, because you would love to get together and talk about it. So the letter might help build a bridge. Another thing about sharing Jesus with them is, please make it about two people. First of all, make it about Jesus. We have made the mistake, especially on social media as believers, of getting involved in the political turmoil and the fiery divisions among people in this country, forgetting the main thing. You know, when I was teaching my kids how to play baseball, I think the first day I taught them, I said, keep your eye on the ball. That's rule number one. Keep your eye on the ball. Paul said when he came to Corinth, I didn't know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Please stick to Jesus. Do not get into religion, their religion, your religion, not the issue. Don't get into their behavior, their lifestyle. That's not the issue. The issue is Jesus loved them enough to go to a cross for them. No one's loved them as much as Jesus, and no one's got more power to help change their life and make their life what they never could be, other than a man who walked out of his grave under his own power.
Amen. So, I'll let you finish that thought, and then I'm going to have to start wrapping it up because we're almost out of time, but I'll let you finish that thought.
Make it about Jesus and make it about you. Don't make it, you know, a first person sharing of Jesus is far more powerful than when you say, you're a sinner, you need Jesus. When you say, you know what I found out? There was a broken relationship between me and God, and that's why I was feeling the way I was feeling. And you wrap Jesus' story in your own hope story. And when you put his story into your story, it may change their story forever. They will listen to your story about you. And in that story about you, make that story about Jesus.
Beautiful. I'm going to end it there.